Hey, it's Flo. And you know what word I've never understood? Top hat. Aren't all hats on top? They're like the toppest part of every outfit. Unless I've been doing it wrong. That's why I stick with simple words like flotection. It means the sense of security you'll feel when your new home is protected by home insurance through me and Progressive. Also, there shouldn't be a top hat unless there's a bottom hat. Wait, is that what underwear is?
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Hello, everybody. This is Charles with the Barbershop Group podcast. And today we're going to be talking about relationships. And I also have my co-host Riley on the show. I know sometimes you guys miss Riley. Riley, speak up. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How's it going, guys? I'm good to be here.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's good to have you on. I know you've been really, really busy in upstate New York doing a lot of different stuff. And we'll have to talk about that later. Today, Riley, a lot of times you and I, we talk about relationships, we talk about, mental health challenges and all that kind of stuff, man. But I think it's really, really cool to have someone on the show who is deep into the relationship game, okay? And it's just that the irony of it, it seems like there are a lot of people coming out of California who are very concerned with relationships, and I don't know why, but, it just seems to be that way. Now, Riley, man, one of the things that I think about a lot of times is, a lot of people don't have models for relationships in their lives, anymore, especially if you're talking about millennials. A little younger than millennials, a lot of people can't reference mom or dad, granddad, grandma. They can't reference their relationships. You know, a lot of individuals never had the opportunity to see healthy marriages in their families. So I think that it's extremely important what we're going to discuss today we'll talk a little bit about a model. And then maybe beyond the model, something about practice. So, guys, today I have on the show Melissa Dumas out of Torrance, California. Melissa graduated from the University of La Verne with an undergraduate degree in psychology and obtained her master's degree in marriage and family therapy from Cal State Long Beach. Okay, she's the owner of You Help You, a counseling center in Beverly Hills, California, and she's also the author of a new book entitled The Love Challenge, 30 Days, 30 Ways to Increase the Love in Your Relationship. And I have to tell you guys, I have read this book and it is very, very good. It is not threatening. It is not long, but it is to the point. And we're going to talk about that book today. Melissa believes each individual possesses innate skills and strengths and qualities to overcome difficulties in their lives. You know, she believes that the things that we need are already in us, and sometimes we just need a little bit of help exposing those things and actualizing those things so that we can live a better life. Melissa has about 15 years experience in the mental health field, and she helps clients of all ages deal with grief, relationship issues, parenting, transitions in life, family conflicts, self-esteem, and stress management. So it's very good to have Melissa on today. And guys, just so you know, if you'd like to follow Melissa, you can follow her on Facebook at You Help You and on Instagram at You Help You as well. And later on in the show, we will provide you with a way to access her book. Melissa, are you there?
Good morning. I am here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for joining us this morning. I know it's early out there and we will not keep you, okay? But we do want to talk to you about this book. You know, originally, guys, when I spoke to Melissa, we were going to cover a few different things regarding men and mental health. But after I got my hands on her book, I decided, you know what, let's not waste any time. Let's jump right into this thing because the book is good. The book is good. I'm telling you, the book is good, guys. You got to check it out. So, Melissa, what motivated you to write this kind of book today?
I was motivated by seeing my own relationship and seeing other friends' relationships, and relationships with other women that I was meeting that wanted help with how to express love to their spouse in new ways. You know, as we go through life, things happen, things change, whether you're growing a family or growing a business or you're just living, you know, every day working your 9 to 5. Sometimes we forget to water the garden that is our relationship. So I wanted to provide individuals with simple tools that they can use to give back to their relationship and find ways to pour into it so it can grow on a daily.
Yes, yes. And that's very good. And, you know, you heard me say something about models. There are a lot of people out there talking about, well, they didn't have a model to follow, or we need these role models in marriages. You know, a lot of people are looking to celebrities, or they're looking to something that happened in a movie, or maybe they're paying attention to relationship memes on Pinterest or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so people are starving for models. But one of the things that I think is really cool about your book is that, you know, while you reference some individuals in your life who, but they were married like, what, 50 years, if I'm not mistaken? You're able to reference people in your life. You give individuals the opportunity to create their own healthy model for their relationship, and that's really awesome. Because I think that we can kind of put a stranglehold on ourselves if we try to do our relationships the way that somebody else does it, right?
Right, you know, absolutely.
Everybody's not going to be a Will and Jada, okay?
Right.
everybody's not going to be, you know, whoever is out there that they're wanting to hashtag relationship goals about. Everybody's not going to be like that, right? So
right.
Your book really kind of lets us know that it's okay to develop our own way in relationships. So, Melissa, you know, one of the things that I saw in the book that was really interesting is you talked a little bit about speaking words of love in relationships. And that got my attention because as we work with men, we run into so many men who are actually saying that they feel like they are being emotionally and verbally abused in heterosexual relationships by a woman. Have you heard people say that?
I have not heard people say that. I have heard, you know, men in their own ways express that their significant other was not speaking their love language, or their significant other was not showing love to them in a way that made them feel good. But it has not been worded to me in a way that felt like abuse or verbal abuse.
I see. Yeah, and that's and I might just be kind of like, you know, speeding along because I know other bits and pieces of it. But, you know, speaking words of love into relationships, can you explain how individuals can do that?
Yes, absolutely. I think that it's about being mindful, you know, that it's about being mindful of the words that you're using and that you're choosing to express yourself, to communicate with your significant other, and that it's important to find words that are building up your relationship. One of my favorite analogies when I speak to couples that I meet with in sessions, when it comes to building up your relationship and building up, you want to look at each thing that you do and say as a brick. And as you're layering these bricks to your house and building your foundation, you want to add to the household and not take away. So when we speak words of negativity or words that do not feel good to our spouse, we're taking away from the household and the love that we're building. But when we speak words of love to that, then we're building them up and we're building our relationship up altogether. So I think it's important to be mindful of the words you're using and to choose words that are going to build up your spouse and build up your relationship.
I love that. I love that metaphor. The brick, you know, building the bricks and laying down a brick at a time. Can you just to make it, you know, give us something to latch onto? Is there any way that you can give us a story or an example or something that we might be able to relate to help explain what you're talking about?
Sure, absolutely. So when you are in a relationship, whether it's someone that you're newly dating or that you've been dating for years or you're married, each action and each word that you speak is a brick. So if I'm speaking words of I love you, or if I'm doing random acts of kindness for you, every time that I do something positive, I'm adding onto our foundation, and I'm making our bond together stronger. And each time that we have that things go in the opposite direction, whether we're having an argument, a disagreement, or some sort of verbal aggression in the relationship, or if I'm speaking negative words to you, saying things like I no longer love you, or if I'm speaking hateful words to you, I've had couples, you know, express that their spouse has said, you know, some negative things to them. So I tell them to look at those negative things and look at what they're building together, and each negative thing is like taking away from the foundation of the house. You're taking away and taking away, and eventually that house becomes nothing, or it no longer has a strong foundation to continue to build upon. And so we have to repair it. We have to repair what has been broken and then continue to build upon that.
Mm. And yeah. When you're talking about, when you're talking about the, you know, doing damage and then having to do the repairs, it seems like a lot of work. So I'm thinking, you know, there's probably some people listening here that say, wow, that's a lot of effort, and why am I doing that to myself? And so it makes me wonder, you know, where does that even come from? Why would we even say those negative things unless we're really feeling them, or unless we have some reason to? I don't see why, you know, why would I want to say that negative thing if I know I'm going to have to turn around and put in that much effort to repair the damage that I just did?
Right, absolutely. And I think it's a great question for all of us to ask ourselves. And hopefully by coming up with an answer that resonates with us, then we're a little bit more mindful, and we're a little bit more careful and wiser with the words that we choose to the one that we love, knowing that we can say something hurtful that we'll have to come back and either apologize for, or just let it live and not say anything, and that, you know, just can build resentment later in the relationship. But I think, you know, that's a very valid and legitimate question. Why would we say something hurtful to our significant other? And sometimes we're hurting, and that's, you know, that's the only thing that we know how to do, is to respond by hurting. And sometimes it's impulsive. It's out of anger. We're not thinking in the moment. We may be hot-headed, and we just blurt it out. And I tell my couples all the time, once it's out there, it's out there. We can apologize for it, but it's been said, you know, and there's no bringing it back once you've said it out loud.
Yeah, right. So hurt people hurt people. We've heard that saying before.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what you're saying. So, you know, guys, we are talking, we're talking with Melissa Dumas today, the author of The Love Challenge, 30 days, 30 ways to increase the love in your relationship. And, you know, if you guys are in a relationship, or if you are thinking about getting into a relationship, or if your relationship is bad, I want to tell you, absolutely, check this book out. Okay, it is non-threatening. It is a very easy read. It's straight to the point, and she has a lot of good things to say in there. You know, Melissa, you talk about I statements. I statements. I think that this is something that we probably should be working at, especially as men. I don't know if we make really good I statements. A lot of people never put any thought into what an I statement really sounds like. So can you give us an example of what is an I statement, and why you put that in the book?
Absolutely. As we all know, communication is a huge piece of any relationship. And even when we're not communicating verbally out of our mouth, we're still communicating. And even when we're choosing to have the silent treatment in a relationship, we're still communicating. By not saying anything, you're still saying a whole lot. And so it was extremely important for me to focus some chapters of the book on communication, because that's such a huge piece in healing and building a healthy relationship, is being able to communicate appropriately with your partner. And I have found that I statements are neutral, they are simple, they are easy for any of us to use as a way to express what we are feeling. At times when we get caught up in our feelings, it is easy to make the statement such as, you make me angry, you make me sad when you do this. And I have learned that when we start a statement with you, we automatically put our spouse or our partner, significant other, on the defense, because they're like, okay, what's coming next? I need to defend myself.
Right,
and
right,
starting
that's
with an
right.
I statement, you completely neutralize the situation, and you put yourself in a vulnerable position, but not too scary of a vulnerable position. I know sometimes when we hear the word vulnerability, it can be scary, but using an I statement allows us to express what it is that we're feeling on the inside, and then it also makes our spouse or our significant other's ears and heart just a little bit more tender to be able to hear that, so it falls on the ears of someone who isn't defensive. So I think it's extremely important for us to use I statements. And so a simple example of an I statement would be, I feel extremely excited when Charles shares with his audience about my book. That's an I statement. I express what I felt, and I express why I felt it. So an I statement can be used by any of us.
That's a great tip. And Melissa, I'm going to ask if you could build off of that. Hopefully we're not asking you to give away all your secrets here, but I feel like a lot of times I statements will come into play when there's some sort of, an argument or a conflict of some sort. And I know you talk a little bit about fighting fair, and I'm wondering if you can just speak to that. I feel like that could be a really subjective, really gray area for a lot of us. So what is fair fighting look like? I'm assuming it. You would use some I statements in there, but I want to let you speak to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So fighting fair is coming up with a plan on how you want to handle your disagreements and your arguments in your relationship. When you're in a relationship with someone, you're going to have a disagreement. There's going to be conflict. You have two people coming together that have may have different backgrounds, that grew up with different parents, different situations, different levels of education, different experiences in life. So there will be things that you just don't agree on. And so it's important to come up with some rules on how you want to have those disagreements. What will that look like? All of us have a type of way that we communicate, and that way that we communicate may not mesh or may not match with the way that our partner communicates. For example, one individual may be a screamer when they get upset. You know, they may scream. One individual may decide to walk away. One individual may decide to name call. And so it's important to come up with these rules for your own relationship, and I tell couples all the time, your relationship, your rules. You get to decide what the rules are. And one of the rules could be no name calling, no walking away, no screaming. If we're screaming, we have to take a time out and come back to the argument later. And coming up with those things puts you in a position where you can, quote, fight fair with your partner. You know we're going to have the argument, so let's do it in a way that's going to be productive. Let's do it in a way that's going to add value to our relationship. Let's do it in a way that will not take away from the bricks that we're building together.
I love that. I love that so you create a plan, and I think it's so empowering how the way you phrase, you know, your relationship, your rules. I think that a lot of times we don't feel like we're in control. We don't have the power when we're in a relationship. And both people, I think, can feel like that at the same time. That even makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely, yeah. And just being able to talk about it and have an open conversation about it, you know. For example, saying something like, hey, babe, I noticed that when the money issue comes up, it creates an argument for us. So let's discuss a way that we can have this conversation without, you know, getting into the negativity and having this ugly fight. These are some of the rules that I have in mind. What did you have in mind? And then coming together and developing a plan. And if you're with somebody that you're looking to build with and that you're looking to, you know, continue to grow with, then these are very valuable conversations to have in your relationship.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I kind of had in my mind, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, what was it, fighting fair. And you've really covered some of the aspects of fighting fair, and there are so many different ways that people engage in unfair fights. I mean, my mind was blown. I was just like, oh my goodness, guys, when you all read the book and you see how many different ways people fight unfairly, you will be shocked. There are a lot of things that I did that I was unaware that I was doing, and I've seen other people do them, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, yeah, that's it. That's how everything breaks down. Okay? And in what you were saying, you kind of also talked about moving past some things. So you have a chapter in your book where you speak about deleting records. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Do you find that a lot of couples have difficulty deleting records?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the, as you know, Charles, from reading the book, one of the examples of fighting dirty is what's called brown bagging, which is where every negative thing that your partner has said or done in the relationship or within the last week or month, you throw it all at them in this current argument. And so I think it's important for us to delete our records. You know, if we've been in a situation and we've been wronged by our partner, or there has been an argument or disagreement, and there has been a genuine apology, and we've forgiven each other and we've moved forward, it is now time to delete that record so that we're not holding on to it and holding it over our partner's head. And by us keeping space for it in our heart or in our mind, that's a little bit of space that we're not able to use to occupy the love that we have for our spouse. So just like a computer, you want to delete some records so that you have more memory to keep all of the joy and all of the pictures and all the things that you love to do together, and you want to delete the trash. You know, every once in a while you go onto your computer and you hit that delete button for the trash can. Same thing with your heart and with your mental capacity when it comes to your spouse. You want to delete those records so that they're not keeping space in your heart and in your mind for all the joy that could be filled with that space.
Got you. Yeah. So it sounds like just that you've got to let go of the anger and the resentment. Don't stop walking around with that big grocery bag of all the wrongdoing that's been out there. Okay. You can't.
Right.
Can't move on.
Absolutely.
Can't go nowhere with all of that, man.
And it's the same for past relationships too. You know, if you're holding on to any records from past relationships that preventing you from loving or being loved in your current relationship, then it's time to delete those records also.
Got you. Okay.
So I think, Melissa, I want to just put this into other words. As a sport guy, for me, I would maybe use the words of keeping score. It sounds like we're talking about the same thing as when you have records.
Yeah.
Where do you think, when we talk about relationships, obviously, you know, we always think of our relationship with others, with other people. But I'm wondering, especially when you bring up the fact that a lot of us hold on to baggage and things from our past relationships, how much, I'm wondering where our relationship with ourselves comes into play when we're talking about building the foundation and building and moving forward in a relationship today with someone else, a significant other.
Right. I think that the relationship that you have with yourself is one of the most important relationships that you will ever have with anyone else. You know, I am a firm believer that if you do not know yourself, if you do not love yourself, if you do not value yourself, if you do not treat yourself well, then we cannot expect or show anyone else how to do those things and be those things for us in our own life. You know, that we are the first line of doing well and doing right by ourselves. And then what that also does by treating ourselves well, that's also the model within on how to treat other people, becomes a roadmap. Mm-hmm. And so if I don't know how to treat myself well, if I'm not taking care of me, then how am I going to take care of my spouse or other people in my life that love me, such as friends and family? So the relationship with self starts first.
Awesome.
See that? The relationship with self starts first. See, and that's key. And I think a lot of times we learn that very late in the game. After we've tried to have relationships with everybody else, now it's like, it was supposed to be about me a long time ago, right? We're running out of time, but I want to ask you about the last piece. And I hear this a lot when I talk to women, to men. It just seems like there are a lot of people who aren't on the same page in their relationships. You know, they're striving and working hard for themselves, or they're trying to become the best person that they can become, but they forget about this third thing, and that third thing being the relationship. You know, it takes on its own entity. And you talk a lot about team us as opposed to team I. So my question to you then is, like, well, what do you do, you know, if you feel like your partner is just dragging you and you're not, you know, they're not being a team player. Either they're pushing you to do something that you're not ready to do or something that you're incapable of doing or something you don't want to do, or they're pulling you and you just don't feel like it's a team. How do you approach that?
I would start with an I statement. I would start with first. Let's rewind that. I would first start with identifying what it is that I'm feeling. So doing a little inventory within myself. What am I feeling? What is this bringing up for me? And once I've identified that, then I would address it with my partner with an I statement. I feel like I'm being dragged along in this relationship. I feel like I'm putting in a lot of work and I'm not getting that same, you know, return. So I would start there with I statements. And then from there, allowing, you know, my spouse or significant other to add in their piece. And then we discuss it together. And then the other piece of it is, if you feel like you're being dragged along or you feel like you're not adding value to the relationship, then I would also ask your significant other, this is what I noticed that you're doing. This is what I noticed your goals are. How can I add value to this? How can I come alongside you and we work on this together? And again, you know, that would be what you would do with the teammate or with the team player. You would come alongside them and say, let's have a huddle and let's discuss how we can implement and, you know, run this play together. So that's important just to start with having a conversation, doing an inventory of self, identifying what you're feeling, what you're thinking, sharing it in the form of an I statement, and then coming up with a plan together.
So Melissa, it sounds like if you're the person being, you know, drug along, that you can bring up, start with the I statement, identify what you're feeling, start with the I statements and start that conversation. I'm wondering, would your answer or your advice change if you were that person and the roles were flipped and you felt like you were in the other person's shoes? Does your advice change for that if you're in that position?
If I recognize that I'm doing the dragging.
Right.
Then I think if that person is able to recognize it, then I think that's amazing, you know, that they're able to come to that without their partner bringing it to their attention, and then to go to their partner and to address it and say, this is what I've noticed. I've noticed that I've been dragging you along. And because of that, I feel bad. I feel horrible for this. How can I make this right? I want to do this with you and not drag you along with me. And then from there, create a plan. So acknowledging it, coming to your spouse and apologizing for what you feel that you've done wrong, and then creating a plan together on how to correct it.
Awesome. So it comes to accountability and communication seem like they're always at play. Always at play.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And those are huge. You know, if you can be accountable for your stuff, you know, or if you want to use the other word, be accountable for your SHIT, then that is a huge step. That is difficult for all of us at times, depending on the situation.
No doubt. Absolutely. Guys, you have heard it. Okay. Melissa Dumas, she said it. Okay. You need to be accountable. Own your own shit. I'm going to say it. Okay. Own it. All right. Own it. Go see somebody. Go talk to somebody about it. All right. Stand up and say, yes, I did it. I screwed up. This was me. I don't know where it came from. I need help. Do something. Okay. Guys, you have been listening to Melissa Dumas out of Torrance, California. She is the CEO. She is the CEO of You Help You out there in Beverly Hills, California. She is also the author of The Love Challenge, 30 Days, 30 Ways to Increase the Love in Your Relationship. Guys, I have read this book. This book is out now. You need to check it out. It gives you 30 exercises that you can do each month. All right. You can read one little chapter each day and work on it for the next day. It's very, very simple to do. And you don't even need your partner to do this. Just do it for yourselves. Get this book. All right. The Love Challenge, 30 Days, 30 Ways to Increase the Love in Your Relationship. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it at Barnes & Noble and iBooks as well. And if you go to Melissa's website, You Help You, you can also find a link there to purchase it. As I said in the beginning of the show, if you'd like to follow her, you can follow her on Facebook at You Help You and also on Instagram at You Help You. And if you go to our page, you'll be able to see the links that direct you to her. So, Melissa, it's been great having you on. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Thank you for allowing me to read the book. I will definitely be sending my copy back out to you because I want your autograph.
Absolutely.
Okay, I want your autograph on the book. But we really do appreciate your time today.
Hey guys, Riley here. If you're enjoying today's show and would like to hear more, you can gain access to member-only content by going to patreon.com/thebarbershipgroup. We aim to provide as much value as possible to you and the rest of our community, and our listeners play an important role. So if you want more content, or if you're just happy to support our mission and the other men out there, head over to patreon.com/thebarbershipgroup to contribute today.
Barbershop Group provides safe spaces for men to discuss issues of well-being and mental health. The Barbershop Group also serves as a resource to the community, providing consultations and public speakers through partnerships with attorneys, mental health professionals, family agencies, religious institutions, and other advocates. In the near future, the Barbershop Group seeks to renovate dilapidated residential and commercial properties in urban areas to create respite shelters for displaced men. We will also host mentorship retreats and workshops for young men and adults to foster growth through our Iron Sharpening Iron and our Rebuilding Men programs. In addition, we host a weekly podcast covering issues of mental health, homelessness, financial literacy, education, and leadership. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please email us at info@thebarbershopgroup.org, visit our Facebook page, or call 313-585-9948 for more information.
Hey, you know people who get all serious around food? My friend Greg is one of these people. He'll be like, "Ooh, what is that? You got a hoagie? Yeah, you got a toasted hoagie bun. Nice. Is that a tomato peeking out? Yum." Yes, and you can stop staring at my hoagie, Greg. Head over to Tim Hortons for freshly made-to-order hoagies, now just $3.29. Choose from four tasty options like classic chicken, turkey, Angus steak and cheese, or ham and cheese, just $3.29. Great quality at a great value. It's all good at Tim Hortons. Price and participation may vary.